gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. What a show we have. We have Eric Bollard from Media Matters for Right Wing World.
Yes.
Jim, as I mentioned to Jackie at the top of the hour, actress Melissa Fitzgerald, or as we call her here, Hot Brie, by her stripper name, is currently sleeping at my house.
So what's she wearing?
I don't know. Let's call her and find out.
Probably your sushi.
Sadly,
your sushi pajamas.
Right. Sadly, for political geeks, it is not the naughty kind of slumber party Jim was hoping for. We just watched the replay of Meet the Press and yelled at David Gregory. That was it. There was no naked pillow fights, no nothing. Just yelling at the Chiron. Are both sides equally to blame for the sequester? Yes, let's start from that premise. Okay.
I was imagining a pillow fight with your bra and panties and then feathers flying all over the place.
Sure, that happened. Right.
Okay.
Yes, during the panel that happened.
No one has feathers in their pillows anymore. So.
All right. More importantly, you know, just when we thought we had jumped the shark, the screaming goats.
We had put a moratorium on any further screaming goat
songs because we were, well. Then
we jumped the goat.
Yes. What? Now, George wrote, I know I'm a bit late with this, perhaps the screaming goat has jumped the shark. But I'm sorry, after hearing so many examples, he sent one, and then also listener Roger sent us one. That should be our Monday version after Meet the Press. After Meet the Press, because there's something David Gregory says that makes me, all right. Only one man can help me now. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's Monday.
I know. It's all cattywampus.
Monday's with Moogle-sang?
He's a Moogle-sang.
Maybe I'm in a cattywampus kind of mood, children. Good morning.
Good morning, John Diggle-sang.
Oh, my God. It's 3 days without a pope, and I've already gotten gay, married, and used birth control.
With the opening pitch this morning. Hello, John Diggle-sang.
Good morning, guys. Welcome from freezing New York.
Oh, honey bunny. I know. I've heard Roland's told me it's just awful.
Now it's freezing wind today. Every day. How the climate can change to upset us more.
I'm sorry.
Why did I leave?
We had 80 degrees this weekend.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Actually, I was in Asheville hanging out with Stephanie's mom all weekend, so I had a good time.
Oh.
You were not hanging out with my mom. You were in Asheville, North Carolina?
I was in Asheville all weekend, yes. That's why I couldn't join you on Friday, but
I was talking to
your mom. Yes.
Oh, all right. Yes, my mom. There's too many hippies in Asheville. My mom does not live in Asheville. She lives in Charlotte.
That's right. Well, I drag her out there sometimes. Everywhere I went,
oh,
I ran
dear, I'm in the Republican.
The
She's in the south, in the southern part, the Republican section of Charlotte.
Right, yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yes.
Everywhere I went, I ran into big Stephanie fans who loved our big show we did at the Asheville Civic Center.
Aw.
So, you have a posse.
Wait, how did you happen to bring that? Are you referring to the next one, April 13th in Chicago, which is almost getting to the sold-out point again?
Holy non sequitur, Batman.
All right. I would hurry if I were. All right, so John Fugelsang, as we know, has... He's hung out with pretty much every Beatle, except for, or did you at one point hang out with every Beatle?
No, I was only a little kid when John died.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure because
not all of us. Were
John's been a VJ since he was like
three.
Four and a half.
Yeah,
he was four and a half
VJ when VH1 could still spell the word music.
Exactly.
Well, you had that all important Stu Sutcliffe interview, which
yes, I nailed the Stu Sutcliffe interview. But no, he died before I was born, Jim. But
me
thank
too.
You for playing.
Well,
so
I handed a glass of water to Ringo once. That was
Oh, okay. Thanks very much.
All
right. Thirsty.
Well, why do you
ask? I hate. Funny. You should ask me why I ask. Because I hate to name drop. Jim has told me.
Oh, I know you
Sting,
hate that.
Right,
Sting told me not to do that.
Right.
Anymore.
Sting told
so. I was
Jim
just
to tell me to knock
with
it
ben
off.
Ben Kingsley about how much you hate name dropping.
Right. Exactly. However, guess who I got to hang out with Saturday night? Stephen Stills.
Wow.
Oh my God.
He's pretty cool.
He's so awesome. I can't even begin to, I don't even know what to say. I got to hear a new album. I think I touched a guitar that costs more than I'll ever make in 17 lifetimes. I was like, oh, should I not put my drink on that one? Sorry.
Did you know that Steven actually auditioned for the Monkees?
I did not.
It could have been Crosby, Torque, and...
Oh! Oh, no.
He is awesome.
Steven
I got to hear new music. I got to hear him play. We
he's
went to
a real
dinner.
Hero.
Yeah, he is amazing. He's an amazing guy.
He's someone who may have helped end the Vietnam War and played it live at Occupy Wall Street.
That's right? True.
Wow. Yeah.
And sang with Public Enemy.
Yeah, it was... Jim's a music dude. You would have, just seeing the guitars, I was like, wow! any rate, so John Fugelsang, you have not been to Florida recently.
No, I have not.
Because as annoyed as I am about David Gregory and the sequester, at least I did not fall into a sinkhole.
Oh, no, that is
very
awful.
That, wow. Seriously? No matter how bad, because I'm having a bad
week. Life.
Thank you. Just watching TV, his whole bed and TV and dresser. Just,
oh, that, yeah.
Right.
God.
And looking at the house from outside, right. you never would know that anything was wrong inside.
From the air, it looked pretty bad. It's sort of sinking into this lake.
Yeah, but if you're standing on the street, they look fine.
Yeah, you really wouldn't know. And the house now is going to be condemned, and it just opened up right over the porch.
Well, they started tearing it down yesterday. And and now it's going to be his grave now because they can't get him out.
I know. Yeah. It's horrible. I've never even heard of such a thing. Have you?
Oh, yeah. Florida has sinkholes. Florida has sinkholes all the time.
It
takes out whole neighborhoods.
Yeah. Wow.
One more reason not to live in Florida.
Exactly.
Wow. Like you needed one.
Weird
stuff
in Florida. There's another one.
That's because of the soil that they have. It's limestone, which is really soft, and it can get washed away.
On the plus side, it's hard to stand your ground when you're underwater. So.
Yeah.
There's that. Thanks, Jim.
The Tea Party thinks granted, because when we go God's to... mad that Rick, the governor is going to allow Medicare payments.
That's it.
Yeah.
Granted, right. when we go to bed here in California, there's a chance we could have an earthquake and get sucked into the earth.
There's that.
However,
there's that.
You know, I'm just saying, you know,
that's because you like living with an element of risk.
I like
another
things,
board game.
I like things edgy.
like earthquakes in California are like cockroaches in New York. The first time I had one happen in L.A., I was like, oh, my God, it's an earthquake. By, like, 5 years later, oh, another earthquake. All right.
Yeah.
What rents do. But it's like cockroaches. The first time you see one, you know, after 5 years, up with my thumb.
Oh, yeah. I lived in New York, and it took me, like, a couple of months, and then every once in a while, like, something that you could ride in the Kentucky Derby would come out from under my sink, and I just feel like, all right.
And there's an earthquake fault under Manhattan, too.
Awesome.
Which,
great.
Good news for you, John.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you have the freezing weather.
I actually managed to be out of town when the big earthquakes happened. So if I'm leaving for an extended period, like 3 years,
we're screwed. All right, good. Thanks for the heads up, Jim. All right, John Fugelsang, Ezra Klein has a great piece in the Washington Post. This is why Obama can't make a deal with Republicans. This is why... seriously, I thought my head was going to explode when I just saw the Chyron. Because this is the starting point they have to start. Are both sides equally to blame for the sequester?
One side is more to blame for really thinking Lucy wasn't going to pull back the football this time.
Yeah, well,
we can be fair. We can be very, very fair. The White House.
What would you have had
really
the president do, John? What would you have had the president do here?
I think this president's afraid of using executive orders to assert that he's actually president and has been elected president.
How is he going
to
do that with a budget?
Well, I think he could have done with a budget. I didn't say with a budget, but I do think
I'm talking
this
about
president,
with this particular situation.
I think that if he's guilty of overplaying his hand, they're going to use this to bludgeon him for the next year and a half. If things don't go bad because of these cuts, you know, he got caught in a fib on Friday, Steph. I don't like it, but he said the folks who work in the Capitol are going to start getting pay cuts by Monday, and it wasn't true. They won't get overtime. But he said they're not going to get a full paycheck,
right.
And they're using it to bludgeon him this
morning. Yes, you're right. That makes it entirely his fault because he misspoke on one.
No, but what I'm saying
one.
Is they're going to use that to just completely hit this president so hard and say that the sequester wasn't a big deal. And when the actual cuts happen and 8 of the 10 top 10 states to be hurt by the sequester are going to be red states, they're just going to turn around and blame it on the black guy.
All right.
They're going to do it.
I think you're right, John.
Let me go to Ezra Klein instead of the naysayers.
I can't take a naysayer
right after David Gregory.
I'm not a naysayer. I just mentioned
Ezra
the fact.
Ezra Klein writes, file this under Jonathan Tate is right. My column this weekend is about the almost comically poor lines of communication between the White House and the Hill. The opening anecdote was drawn from a background briefing I attended with a respected Republican legislator who thought it would be a game changer for President Obama to say he'd be open to chain CPI, a policy that cuts Social Security benefits over time, as part of a budget deal. The only problem, Obama has said he's open to chain CPI as part of a budget deal, and this isn't one of those times where the admission was in private. We're going off news reports. It's right there on his website. It's literally in bold type, but key GOP legislators had no idea that Obama made that concession. If Obama could get hold of Klein's mystery legislator and inform him of his budget offer, it almost certainly wouldn't make any difference. He'd come up with something. The cuts aren't real. The taxes are awful. They can't trust Obama to carry them out or something. If you saw Boner yesterday on Meet the Press, it's become...
What a lying sack of crap, Stephanie. And you know what? Here's the thing.
Let me just finish, because I think this is really important. Again, what people... because, again, the mainstream media gets sucked into this. Technically, Obama did move first on spending. Over the course of 2011, Obama signed into law a set of bills that cut about $1.8 trillion from discretionary spending. That included no tax increases at all. One of those bills, the Budget Control Act, also gave us the sequester. So you could argue they included closer to $3 trillion in spending cuts, all again without a single tax increase. It didn't seem to build much trust. He's also, in this deal, moved first on spending. So far, the Republicans have not proposed any further tax increases, but Obama has proposed quite a few spending cuts, including means testing and Medicare and chained CPIs we talked about. The bottom line
and
on
raising
American,
the Medicare age.
The bottom line on American budgetary politics right now is that Republicans won't agree to further tax increases, so there's no deal to be had. Anyway, exactly. He goes on to say, the truth comes out. Republicans won't make a deal that includes further taxes. They just want to get the White House to implement their agenda in return for nothing. There's no deal, even if Obama agrees to major Republican demands on entitlements. There's no deal because Republicans don't want to make a deal that includes taxes, no matter what they get in return for it.
So
the interesting question is whether the possibility of a government shutdown, a debt ceiling breach, or simply the pressure of the sequester's cuts will in the coming months break one side or the other. But as long as the GOP's position is they won't compromise, there's not going to be a compromise. Ezra Klein, I think, is nailing it again.
Or as you call him, Urza
Klein.
Yeah.
Urza Klein. Listen, we're allowed to be disappointed at the president for saying some stuff that might come back to haunt him, but the fact is this is so incredible.
I don't think he thought this would ever happen. Yes, they played the clip about this isn't going to happen.
I don't think he thought this would happen either. I think he thought Lucy was really going to let him kick the ball this time. But the fact is, the lies that the GOP is told about raising the debt ceiling, which is what this is all about, which they did for Ronald Reagan over 10 times for a total of 189% increase. They did it for George Bush over 10 times.
Boehner was basically just blaming, it was just playing the, oh, it was his idea, well, the president didn't want to be inconvenienced. The president didn't,
go ahead.
The president didn't want to be inconvenienced? You mean by the entire economy of the United States crashing down because we default? I mean, it's like the way David Gregory even let him, I mean, he got a few questions in, John, but the way he let him spin it was just incredible. I mean,
I agree.
I think you need to switch to ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Yes. No. Oh, you gotta watch Rodman.
Bob Schieffer. You gotta watch Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer. That's a little more soothing.
Yes. Bob Schieffer is more soothing,
Thank you.
The fact is, if I was David Gregory's wife, I would cheat on the man because he doesn't ask follow-up questions.
There you go.
It was so disgusting that it was John Boehner who pushed this sequester through the House. John Boehner, who twisted so many Republican arms so they would agree to vote for the sequester, and now he's blaming the whole thing on the president after he did it, and I almost think they launched it as a trap for the president just to hurt him because the lies that the Republicans have told about this.
Got to take a break. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
God, that's annoying.
23 minutes after the hour.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so Melissa and I have a question for you, Jim. We were watching John Boehner on Meet the Press. And he has a distinct lisp. He sounds like despicable.
Of course he has a lisp.
Who are we talking about?
You're despicable.
That's what I thought. That's what Melissa said. Okay. We were watching him, and he does this weird lizard thing with his tongue. He like,
President. I'm very happy.
The Declaration is the president's idea.
I'm 90% of what I want.
President's despicable. Okay, yeah, play some. I don't know why I've never. It was just very distinct yesterday on Meet the Press, both the lizard tongue and the lisp. Here we go.
As I told the president once again yesterday. We all know what the problem is.
We know the problem is.
We've got
black guy in the White House.
That's not what he said, Jim.
Don't say that. Jim's impressions are too good. Then people think that was the actual sound clip. It's Catherine Cuckatash. Is that the same character?
No, that's Sylvester.
Sylvester.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same actor.
He sang Mighty Real.
No, not that Sylvester. Sylvester.
Not the gay one.
Oh, you BJ little scamp, you. All right.
I think it's his cotton mouth.
You think so?
Cigarettes, cigarettes and bourbon. And needs to hydrate.
Some pictures of him, his eyes look like, you know what I mean?
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes. You just shook something and they're like, you know.
It looks like it's about to cry at any minute.
Or he has little spirals in them, little spirals in his eyes. But, you know, Tweety Bird's flying around his head.
Not enough hygiene in the world.
The president has to take responsibility for stuff I did.
Here's some more.
I made it clear to the president that he got $1 trillion worth of tax hikes in Obamacare. He got another $650 billion worth of tax hikes on January the 1st. You can't tax our way out of this problem.
And David Gregory said, what?
David Gregory said, what now?
Yeah.
Chris. Can we talk about how dishonest that is? That's the meme they're doing stuff?
Yes.
That the president got his tax hike. There are no tax hikes. Yeah. Taxes are still lower than they were when President Bush took office.
That's right.
Over 80% of the Bush tax cuts were made permanent by this president, and he's not seeking more tax hikes. He's trying to close tax loopholes, the same thing Mitt Romney ran on. They're lying about Obama again.
Like I said, the president's tax hikes.
And he used the same condescending tone that you said with that he does about the president with David. He was like, with David Gregory. He was like, David,
you're right
now, David. Listen to me. Yeah, he. I don't know why it was just a very pronounced lisp yesterday. The boner again.
The discussion about revenue, in my view, is over. It's about taking on the spending problem here in Washington.
There is no spending problem.
There is no spending problem.
There is no spending problem.
There is no spending problem. There's a revenue problem.
I'm sorry. There's no spending problem. And there's no place like the House. You know, the other thing I noticed? What did I notice? You know what's weird about House speakers or leaders? What did I notice? What do I notice on Meet the Press? Because it was a long shot of him and David Gregory sitting there.
Uh-huh.
He has teeny tiny feet like Tom DeLay. There's something about Republican leaders. His feet are entirely too large.
And they're size 6 feet.
Right.
Yes.
His feet are entirely too small for his,
really?
His large body.
It makes him look like a bowling pin.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably like why they were seated. He would fall over.
I'd like to mention that means nothing, and I say that I think yes. Small feet means nothing. Don't read into that at all.
No.
And I bet my size 13 shoes on it.
Are you really size 13?
I am.
Holy cow.
Hello now.
Wow. Really easy to buy comfortable
no
shoes.
No wonder you have such a large baby. Okay. Lee in Las Vegas here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
I think you're great.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know, I think John Boehner, everything that comes out of his mouth is false. Totally false.
Yeah.
Why does this guy constantly lie?
Yeah.
He lies. He's saying that President Obama doesn't put anything on the table. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Meanwhile, everything he tries to do, they say no to.
Yeah.
So
did you see did you see what I was talking about, Lee? How he said, the president didn't want to be inconvenienced with another vote on the debt ceiling because for the first time in history, we're taking the debt ceiling hostage in our country because the president actually cared about the country and you didn't.
Right.
I mean,
and he's doing what the country wants, Stephanie. That's what he ran on.
Yeah.
He wants to close some tax loopholes for the extraordinarily rich, right, to avoid three-quarters of a million jobs to be lost. And mm-hmm. they're laughing about a Republican saying, oh, my God, they didn't lose it in the first day. You said it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks for it to go into effect. They don't listen.
Yeah. No,
oh,
I mean,
shut up, Mika.
John, that's what I was talking
president.
About is, like, they're just playing gotcha with things. And I do think, you know, Lee, the president didn't think this was going to happen. That was the gotcha
right.
tape that David Gregory played mm-hmm. is him saying
right.
the sequester's not going to happen.
Gregory's
right,
too soft. He's too soft, Gregory.
Oh, that's
he throws
a light
these softballs at him.
Yeah.
They need somebody
sir.
Like you, Steph, or your
that's
staff
right.
on this.
That's right.
You
know, and I just lost this job like that to David Gregory. I was this close.
It was between you and him, right?
David Gregory, Stephanie.
Right.
I love how he said either you or your staff. What?
What?
No.
But that's
no, and you know, he did actually, for David Gregory, John, he did ask things that resembled questions, but then he just lets it go. Then,
well,
like, he lets Boehner lie, and then he's just, oh, okay, well.
I think you're right, Steph. It seems like he asks a tough question, Boehner dodges it. He'll ask a somewhat less tough follow-up question, Boehner dodges it, and then he drops it.
Yeah.
And again,
we'll have
we
to leave it there.
Even if you're frustrated with the president that this happened, that he trusted these Republicans, the fact is these guys lied, and David Gregory did not hold their feet to the fire in that John Boehner interview.
Little teeny tiny feet. 29 minutes after the hour, right back after the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
At least the jackass is out of bed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Mondays with Fuglesang.
What?
Just deal with it. You don't need to know.
Fundays with Fuglesang.
You're on a need-to-know basis. Why he's here today. All right. Hello, John Fuglesang. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Miller. So nice to be with you.
Thank you. You too. Did you see the headline, Ann Romney blames the media for...
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I've missed her warmth, haven't you?
Yeah. Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard.
This is hard.
It's
still you hard. Want to try it? Get in the ring.
All right.
This is hard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the media came up with a story that Obama was winning.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, she was. They were on Fox News.
Fox News Sunday.
Yes.
Huh. Yes.
Should what we do odds? Let's do the, yes, this is the yes. Blame the media soundbite.
They came on Fox News Sunday, saw the shadows, and that means they have 4 more years of Obama.
There were reports that you and your oldest son, Tag, were frustrated with the Romney campaign, that they didn't, quote, let Mitt be Mitt, that they didn't let him show his more open, compassionate side.
Right.
True?
Well, of course, it was partly it's true, but it was not just the campaign's fault. I believe it was the media's fault as well. Is that he was not being given a fair shake, that people weren't allowed to really see him for who he was.
Yes. All right. What about the media?
I'm happy to blame the media.
Yeah, no, Mitt Romney showed his real self on that video.
That was right.
Cell phone video.
Exactly. That was the problem with the campaign. Too much Mitt Romney.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's the media's fault that Romney called Obamacare a tax and called it free stuff in the same speech.
That's right.
Yeah. I love the... They didn't let Mitt be Mitt. No, we got it. We saw him.
No, we saw Mitt.
We saw the real Mitt.
Got it. We got it. Yes.
47% of moochers.
They made Mitt act far more to the right than he was comfortable being for months and months and months.
Yep.
Here is Chris Wallace and Ann Romney again.
Do you think that the two of you at all contributed to this image, which the other side certainly played up, that you were so wealthy that you were somehow out of touch with the concerns of the average American?
And, you know, that's a reality that, you know, you can't change.
It's
I mean, we are who we are.
Okay.
The thing that was frustrating to me is that people didn't really get to know Mitt for who he was.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. No, we got it. Yeah. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
We're all good.
Cell phone video. That's all you need to know.
Mitt Romney says it kills him he's not president.
Oh.
But he does not blame Superstorm Sandy, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, or anything else on his out of the way to his loss to President Obama, except his campaign's failure to connect with minority voters.
The media
what
was
could it
so
have been?
Fair. The media was so fair to Governor Romney. When you consider the fact that the media, the mainstream media, never got tough on him until the Etch-a-Sketch incident. That was the first time in over a year of lying on the primary trail.
Who brought you that moment of the campaign cycle, I wonder? Oh,
thank you, my dear.
John Fuglesang did on CNN.
You won the election for President Obama.
Yes, you did,
you know
John.
What? When the media spends a year discussing whether or not Mitt Romney's really a citizen of this country and his birth certificate's a fake, when the mainstream media does that, I'll believe they were unfair to him.
Clearly, John is in the tank for Obama because he's got so much melanin.
Right.
Ann
Romney also said her husband has an enormous skill set in dealing with difficult issues, and I totally believe at this moment if Mitt were there in office, we would not be facing sequestration right now.
Oh, come on!
Of course you would, because the Republicans would have cooperated.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. Yeah. It's completely true. What would happen is the rich would have a tax cut. They'd be cutting funds left and right.
Agree.
The Medicare age would go up to 70, and there'd be no sequestration.
Right. They all agree that the rich have had it too hard in this country.
And the Republicans would work with Romney. And they promised not to work with Obama.
And unemployment being triple digits.
Yeah.
Which is why they agreed to the sequestration, because they thought they'd be dealing with President Romney by the time fiscal cliff came around.
There are
Republicans who feel bad about this sequestration.
Yep. Let's go to
both
Corky.
Of them, I'm sure.
Both of them are really
crying. Broken up about
Corky in Rochester, you're on with John. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph. I got to talk to you guys off the ledge.
Okay.
Barack Obama is doing the same thing he did to Romney. Proceed, Mr. Boehner. Because half of those cuts and the sequester come from the military spending. Now, who's the biggest Republican donors to campaigns? It's the military contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only about 10 or 12 companies. So when they start losing $42 billion in expenditures, they're going to be riding those guys hard.
Yep.
And they're going to come begging to President Obama, please get us out of this.
Yep.
I think you're right.
Riding those guys hard.
I can't wait for it yet. It's going to be... fantastic.
Love that Rochester Fleet.
But you know what? I think he makes a really good point, because when the military cuts start to actually hurt the military, I think the president's going to be in a very good position to show that he tried to stop this from mm-hmm. happening.
He's running the famous chipmunk strategy on Boehner.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Please proceed.
I got 90% of what I wanted. I'm pretty happy. What happened? Oh, no!
Despicable, the president's sequestration.
You're despicable.
Mickey, what's with the lizard tongue? Seriously. Mickey in South Dakota, you're on with John. Hi, Mickey.
Howdy. Say, hi. I've got 3 points and then a question for John.
Yes.
First, Chris, I love your music selection. I heard somebody last week saying they didn't like your music.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Very good.
And if Mitt Romney would have won, we would have no more Big Bird.
Right.
And then, John.
We just have no more Elmo.
Right. When we give financial aid to other countries, do we get that money paid back to us? And if not, how come we keep giving money to other countries for financial aid?
Because we are an empire, and that's how empires stay in power.
Very good, John. Very good. I love that.
You want like the simplest answer.
Quiz.
And
pop
therefore,
quiz.
A witch!
Bueller? Okay. Okay.
What was his question? Was that his question for
that
me?
That was his, yes,
yeah.
And you
oh,
answered
wow.
it very
I
well.
Hope I passed the audition.
You
I
looked,
did.
You seemed a little unsure, like in history
thank
class.
On behalf of the band
I didn't know that was my question.
No, Mr. Dillon, I'm thinking it might be this. Oh, yes, yes.
Did okay. I say empire? I'm sorry. I meant last remaining superpower.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, look who's calling from Ohio, everybody. Oh. Hang on one second.
John Boehner?
No. Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
It's the John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, sweethearts, and good morning to you, Mr. Fugelsang.
Good morning.
Hey, one thing real quick.
You little minx.
Hey, you know, President Obama keeps saying that he has an open-door policy and that and everything. So why are the Republicans wanting to play high school and say they want a phone call? An open-door policy to me means that you can go talk to him at any time.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, even David Gregory asked, what are these meetings like? You say you have a cordial relationship with the president. Yeah, I mean, because they're basically cordially saying, screw you, Mr. President, aren't they?
Well, and I tell you something else, too, Stephanie. I've seen this past week that that little wormy, Tanner. That little worm. He put out their 2013 calendar. They get 239 days off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
They work 126 days. Now, to me, wouldn't you class that as an entitlement program?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Very good.
When I worked, I had to take vacation days if I wanted money.
Yep.
These goofballs, they get paid for being off.
That's right. By the way, this was one of the best John and Pam skits ever, even though you forgot your line and John had to.
Yes.
Oh, I love you. I love you.
Line, Tanner. Line, Tanner.
See, that's what couples that have been together that long.
Yeah.
Right? See? He completes her. Okay. He says it there, it comes out here.
That's right.
See what I mean? All right, let's go to Annie in Los Angeles. Hi, Annie, you're on with John.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on something that you guys were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
That the president had lied about the fact that the janitors and things were going to lose income or something.
I didn't say he lied about it, but I said it wasn't so, and they're beating him with it today.
Yeah, well, it actually is so. A lot of I don't think people realize that people that work hourly, they look for overtime to fill
absolutely.
In for the funds that they don't have coming in.
Absolutely.
So if
right,
they're
they,
losing
Annie, they
overtime,
count on it. Right.
That means
yes.
that they're losing
yeah.
money out of their pocket.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's what the president was talking about, I believe, personally.
Well, you know, and Annie, they're making it about small ball like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I think exactly what you said is perhaps what the president meant. But again, it's not the larger issue. The larger issue is this entire sequestration and how we stop this.
Right, how we stop. And they're just, you know, I mean, they're actually crazy. I think you're about the only sane person that I know that actually talks on the radio.
Thank you.
But they just make little nitpicks about little things that he says. But actually, that's true. Because people that work hourly and look for overtime so that they can fill out what they, even the police and things, if you think about it, they a lot of their salary, they make big salaries, but a lot of it at the end of the year has to do with them doing overtime. time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
Part
no,
of
no
their,
doubt.
It's part of their budget, so to speak.
That's
you know?
Right. Annie, and thank you, you know, and thank you for just, the thank you for the compliment about being the most the only sane person on the radio. It is such a low bar.
It's a high bar. I'm not, that you wonderful.
All right. Aww. Thank you, honey. No, very, very low bar. Sanest person in radio is like...
I don't care if it's a high bar or a low bar, as long as they've
sort
got
like
bourbon.
The monkey that throws the least feces. I don't
or
know.
The soberest person in Boner's office.
I'm sane for
yeah.
radio.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, she's really right that overtime is pay. But, right. you know, when the president says they're going to have their salaries cut and then it was only pertaining to overtime, I'm just letting you know what they're going to be using to beat the president up this week, and they've already begun it. And Morning Joe is acting like it was Christmas with his smug little squint.
Ugh. Small ball. I just like for watching Mika's expressions. They're just, whether they're gastrointestinal distress or just kind of general nausea. Or and then I think she just goes to a happy place. I think she just kind of, while Joe's talking. Okay.
I'd rather watch Bill Press.
Me too.
So would I.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fuglesang. Oh, no, it's Mondays with Mooglesang. The Mooglesang.
Fun days with Fuglesang.
Right. Yeah. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business, what act of unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John Fuglesang, sexy liberal, his own bad self in the New York Bureau.
Good morning, Popeless children.
Good morning.
Yes, we are without Pope. Sans Pope.
Yes, we are sans Pope. The president, yes.
These cuts are not smart. They'll hurt our economy and cost us jobs. And Congress can turn them off at any time, as soon as both sides are willing to compromise.
And when might that happen? The new Pope can tell us when hell will freeze over, I imagine.
Yeah, what happens if the Republicans want the economy to slow down? What if that helps them for 2014? What if they have the same strategy of doing nothing and they learn nothing from the elections?
Jim, who said the president does not particularly like the Washington press corps, and I think the feeling is mutual in a lot of respects, and there's not a great relationship between that Washington establishment and the president.
David Gregory.
Yes! You're not supposed to get it right, but...
Mr.
Wait,
Boehner,
so which
you
is
want to
it?
Defend?
I thought it's a liberal Obama-loving media, John. I don't understand.
They are. Well, it's so funny if you read the right-wing blogs how they all were coming down on David Gregory for throwing so many Obama administration talking points at Speaker Boehner, and it's like those aren't talking points; those are facts.
Right.
Boehner pushed the sequester through the House and made a lot of Republicans angry, forcing them to vote for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Mark in California. You're on with John. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Moose. Hey, John. Just wanted to make a comment. I heard what you said earlier about, you know, this being the president's fault in some way. I know you're not completely blaming him, John, and I usually am 100% on your side, but I think this time your logic is a little bit flawed. The fact
I'm not blaming the president for the sequester. I'm blaming the Republicans far more than the president for the sequester.
You're saying far more. What I'm saying.
Oh, far more for the president. Yeah, because if they had raised the debt ceiling like they did for Bush and Reagan a gazillion times each, this wouldn't have happened. I blame the president for trusting them that they were going to actually work with him. But, you know, he's made that mistake before, and I think he's going
to
come out on top.
But listen to what you're saying. You're saying that a hostage negotiator who is negotiating with a criminal who's got a gun on a hostage and says, look, give me some time. I'll get you a plane so you can get to Cuba. Just, you know, don't shoot the hostage. And if I'm lying to you, guess what? You can do what you have to do. And he tries to spend some time and give a pregnant pause so that you can stop and talk some sense into him. And then when the guy finally says at the end, sorry, there's no plane. I'm going to shoot her. And he shoots her in the leg and wounds her. You say it's the hostage negotiator's fault, even in any small measure. He was trying
Except
to
I didn't say it was his
get,
fault. The Republicans are far more to blame for this.
I agree with you, but even in a small measure,
Mark,
even in a small measure, it's not his fault.
Yeah, Mark,
it's
I agree with
the fault of the criminal.
Right, Mark, I agree with you. And somebody made the I forget which writer it was. If you heard about that, I think budget director quoted it on Meet the Press yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's like a holdup where, you know, the gunman says, give me your wallet, and you say, well, I don't have it, but here's my watch, and say, oh, well, you agreed to it. It's like, what do you mean the president agreed to it?
Right. The logic is flawed. So, John, I agree. I know what you're saying, but I think that sometimes as liberals, we're trying so hard to play the middle of the road and be fair that we're being unfair to our own side. The president, this is no way he's using the word term fault. It's not his fault.
Mark, that's
it's
why
what
it's
he
that,
had to do to get something
that's
done.
That's right. That's why, it's the perfect analogy, because you go, if someone holds a gun to your head, John, and you give him your watch, did you agree to? Yeah.
Exactly.
I guess
so. Exactly. And that's the problem I have with you. So, John, I'm usually on your side. I think you're great, but I just think maybe our language hurts ourselves a little bit
I think we are still on the same side. I just
agree.
Want to say that what I would have done is I would have tried anything to do what Robert Reich said and repeal the sequester, because, again, it was the aristocracy. It was the upper 1% who had a feeding frenzy with Bush. They did a big dine and dash on America's credit card. They caused this problem. And what do we see now? We see the two-party system saying we need austerity, so the middle class in this decade pays for the sins and gluttony of the upper class in the last decade. It's easy to get cynical, and it feels like the Democrats and Republicans are playing some kind of a good cop, bad cop game when the working class always pays. But at the end of the day, there is no doubt the GOP is to blame for all of this. I think the president made a mistake and a lot of people agree, when he said last week that this was going to cause pay cuts, and when we saw the White House start walking back on the threats of dire consequence when they realized this was going to happen,
right,
which was only a smart thing to do.
Right, but Mark, he never said it was going to be an apocalypse, right? I mean, this is the thing they tried to...
He never said the sky was falling. He said good people are going to feel this, and it's unnecessary. And that was the reality.
And they will feel it, by the way. They will feel it, but he's being...
Right, but the Republicans tried to make it sound like he was saying the sky was falling. He was just giving you a real definition of what some people are going to feel. When you tell a waitress...
And his entire cabinet was, too.
Well, she's going to lose her tips. That's important to her.
Yep.
And what he's trying to do is he was trying to bring it to the human level to say, do you want to see people lose their overtime that they depend on just to live in today's economy simply because we won't cut back on corporate loopholes?
Mark,
that's really make what it is, John. So
Mark,
I think
you
absolutely. No, we agree.
You are the smartest boy in class this morning. What do you think about that?
Well, thank you, Stephanie, and I love you to death.
I
hope you come back to L.A. because I missed the last Sexy Liberal. I wanted to go with my wife, but we were out of town.
Oh.
So we're going to go to the next one.
Well,
so
your dream.
Let us know when you're coming back to L.A.
I will. Well, I'm in L.A. now, but
your
dream.
I mean for the show.
Your dream may just come true, Mark. Dreams can come true, John.
Indeed,
okay.
We have a little bit of breaking news coming out of the Today Show.
Yes.
Jeb Bush was on there, and he says that he will not rule out a 2016 White House run, but, quote, I won't declare today.
It's already a two-horse race.
Awesome. Jebby.
So that would be a third Bush.
Jebby.
A Bush versus a Clinton.
Listen.
True. Boy, I'm glad we had a war with England to get away from inherited power.
Yeah.
And normally I cannot get enough Bush, but you know what I'm saying? But the president yesterday.
This is not going to be an apocalypse, I think, as some people have said.
Mm-hmm.
It's just dumb. And it's going to hurt.
Thank you.
Yep.
He is.
It's going to hurt all the wrong people.
Yeah,
it's going to hurt red states the most too.
He has called for them to replace the sequester with what he called a balanced approach, which combines smart cuts with reforms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Republicans, John, are admitting that this is bad. This is dumb. The way these cuts have been. I mean, that's why they were designed that way.
Yeah, they're really dumb. But you know what? Republicans don't get to complain about it because it's their fault the president had to propose this in the first place, and it's their fault this went into effect.
The president said a majority of the American people agree with me on this approach, including a majority of Republicans. We just need Republicans in Congress to catch up with their own party and the rest of the country. That's exactly where we are. He said, I know there are Republicans in Congress who would actually rather see tax loopholes closed than let these cuts go through. And I know there are Democrats who'd rather do smart entitlement reform than let these cuts go through. There's a caucus of common sense. And I'm going to keep reaching out to them to fix this for good. And he said, I'm not a dictator. I'm the president. He cannot force Republicans in Congress to do the right thing. He said these cuts will hurt our economy. It'll cost us jobs. It'll set and to set it right, both sides need to be able to compromise. The president yesterday.
Beginning this week, many middle class families will have their lives disrupted in significant ways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Let's go to Barrett in Indiana. You're on with John. Hi, Barrett.
Hi. I would like to reframe this whole discussion. I want to call the loopholes and the corporate giveaways as entitlements as well.
Thank you.
And for the 1%, 1% should be paying just as much as we the 99%. Let them pay 50% towards it, and let the 99% pay towards the 50% of it. And that's all I have to say.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Barry. He'll take
He's
no further
exactly
questions,
right.
John.
He's exactly right. Like I said before, it was the aristocracy and the 1% that got us into this mess, and now they're calling for austerity for the middle class to bail them out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, that the Romneys have reemerged, right? It's like, yep, there's the argument all over again that just lost. The top 1%, blah, 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 right? The 47% moochers. I mean, it's weird they resurface right now, isn't it, John? It's like, yes,
it's really
you made
weird.
That argument, you lost.
I can only imagine, Steph, that it's because he's been invited to speak at CPAC and he's trying to spin himself into being some kind of respected elder statesman loser of the Republican Party, despite the fact that the Republican Party has never liked him and never will.
Yeah.
We love you, John Fugel, saying, watch John Fugel's Viewpoint on the current television network.
Thank you so much. Thanks. We had Bill Bradley and Susie Essman on the other night and a lot more great guests this week. Wow. So stick around. Have a great show, guys.
Irma Gertz. All right, right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we communicate non-verbally during the breaks. We speak Maria Bamford during the breaks.
Yes.
Is there something you'd like to say to your ex? Okay.
Penny Lover by Lionel Richie.
Okay, here it comes. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, can you get the beer song ready?
Oh, yeah.
I got a Maria Bamford tweet, which was hilarious over the weekend. Really? At a beer tasting on beer number 4. I'm not a beer fan, but that doesn't seem to be an issue after 4 beers.
Sure.
Oh, what's this? The malted liquor. What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
I would rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse
beer.
I could really use a beer. 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 Beer.
Yeah, if it's a really good beer, I mean, the first glass is just fantastic. By the fourth one, it's like
it doesn't matter.
Dishwater.
Yeah,
it's just
you
beer.
You can't taste it anymore.
Oh, we did a story last week about Girls Gone Wild has gone bankrupt, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kristen Yankton said, "Are you telling me that Girls Gone Wild has gone up?"
Yes.
I should have thought of that.
Except you don't have a bleep button, so you can't. All right, it's Monday, which is my favorite day of the week. Why?
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual. That's why.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
One of my favorite tweets of yours, of course, you say, after losing an on-air argument, Hannity the next day compares Representative Ellison to a Klan member.
Yeah.
Some people are just sore
amazing,
losers.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
So he has, you know, he has this on-air flare-up with Ellison, and Hannity doesn't really, you know, it's sort of just sort of, it actually wasn't a lot of yelling back and forth. I mean, Hannity didn't really have wasn't able to debate in any way.
Right.
And he didn't really have any comebacks. And he pretended he was shocked that, you know, that the Democrat was saying this stuff. And then it ended, and then of course it got buzzed because Hannity basically never has Democrats. Fox at night doesn't allow Democrats to disagree with them. But then he spent like the next 2 or 3 days like rounding up his friends and saying mean stuff about him. I mean, it was so junior high, you know. He couldn't really debate in real time. And so then he spent the next days trashing the guy behind his back. You know, he compared him to a Klan member.
Yes.
Going after this crazy, you know, suggesting, you know, a lot of Islamophobia stuff. It was disgraceful because he couldn't. I think he knew he sort of looked bad, and so then he had a scramble. It was very juvenile, I thought.
I love your thing about the sequestration. You say, seriously, is this the worst messaging since New Coke? GOP, sequestration is awesome, and it's all Obama's fault. I mean, it really is. I mean, I was going crazy yesterday because just the chyron on Meet the Press is, are both sides equally to blame for the sequestration?
Oh, my God. Of course they are. Oh. I mean, why does Beltway Press even have to ask that? I mean, look at Bill Keller, New York Times today, column, headline, Obama's fault. You know, I also tweeted, you know, we should just start a master list of every pundit, you know, who writes a column attacking Obama for failing to be able to change the Republican behavior. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, after 5 years of just this radical obstructionism,
Right.
You know, they are still committed to this narrative that bipartisan, there is no bipartisan cooperation because one side is to blame. And that's Obama's fault. Bipartisanship, by definition, is two sides coming together and compromising. But if one side decides, you know, Republicans decide they're not going to, let's blame Obama.
I was talking about Ezra Klein's piece, I'm sure you saw in the Washington Post, but it really is amazing. It's just, that's where you and I get so irritated, where the mainstream press falls down. It's like the president has compromised. He has put forward stuff like chain CPI, all this stuff that the press pretends hasn't happened. That both sides just can't come together when, you know, right.
Yeah, Sam Stein had a good point, a piece of Huffington Post, saying, you know, there's this sort of mythology of the centrist pundits, and all these pundits, you know, wring their hands, you know, why can't these people come together? Why aren't there leaders on both sides who can meet in the middle? Why can't centrism work? And as he points out, you know, this narrative, it doesn't work for sequestration because they have to, if they were to blame Republicans, they would have to admit that there's one side that refuses to come to the middle. Mm-hmm. They would have to admit that Obama is the one who has reached out and put numerous, you know,
cuts
on the table and things. So it sort of mucks up their narrative, but they want to stick with it. They still want to blame both sides. So they just sort of rewrite the story and they ignore, you know, what Obama has done and what Republicans done, and they stick to their mantra. You know, why can't both sides come together when there's one side that absolutely refuses? And here's the frustrating thing that drives us crazy. It's been 5 years. This has been telegraphed from day one.
As we always say, why won't the president lead by getting out of the way?
Well, and Obama is a centrist, so by definition, it's the Republicans who are causing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I also point out, you know, this whole idea of, you know, attacking the president for not being able to change the opposition's behavior, you know, where were the columns, you know, attacking W. Bush for not being able to, you know, get Tom Daschle to change his behavior in the, you know, in the early part of George Bush's first term, when the allegation was Democrats were obstructing and they're standing in the way of the Republican agenda. We've never seen this sort of onslaught where the pundits blame the president for his inability to get the other side to change its mind. And we've never seen it because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And meanwhile, in right-wing world, it's just a liberal, Obama-loving media, apparently,
right.
Everywhere.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Right.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Here we go. Rush Limbaugh.
I've never seen this kind of self-absorption. It's uncanny. This president stands up in a day and he enjoys, folks, reciting the kind of pain Americans are going to feel. So we're getting the opposite of leadership. There is no real concern for people and their lives. That's feigned.
Wow. Wow. That's feigned concern. And yeah. Rush's concern for you is real, of course.
It must be wonderful to be able to just sort of pierce through, you know, and be able to read motivation. You know, Obama spent the whole last week talking about the pain this was going to cause. But voila, you know, Rush Limbaugh will tell us, you know, he's not really concerned. You know, it's all an act. This is a guy who's, you know, a professional actor by trade. So maybe he has some insight. I don't know.
There you go. Mike Huckabee on the Fox News.
It's interesting because, you know, to compare Obama and Nixon because of the lack of transparency,
really?
Because the fact that, you know, they're both kind of creating these enemies lists and going after and targeting reporters they don't like. But there's one big difference. All the things aside
no
from
burglary?
The Watergate cover-up, Nixon was a pretty effective president. Oh, he got things done. The difference is President Obama has not been an effective president. He can't work with Congress. He can't even get his own party, for the most part, other than Obamacare, his signature issue, which is collapsing the economy job
what?
By job.
No, it's not.
So it's really an insult to Richard Nixon to make the comparison.
Hello, he lied.
Oh, wow. He's just like Nixon, only worse. Wow.
You need a scorecard to keep track of all the great, you know, misinformation and lies and things like that. Obama can't get anything through, you know, he can't get anything through Congress because he can't get Democrats. Oh, by the way, you know, you can't get anything through Congress because you need 60 plus votes, but let's pretend that doesn't exist. But yeah, of course, you know, the enemy's list, and he's going after reporters. And,
yes.
You know, there's this mob running the White House. You know, that, of course, all came from the Bob Woodward.
I was just going to say, writing Bob Woodward an overly polite email, that's exactly the same as Watergate. Did you see Frank Rich's tweet, Eric? He said, are Woodward's antics sheer vanity or an effort to deflect from this month's 10th anniversary of his failure to report the Bush-Cheney WMD hoax?
Yeah, right. Well, poor Bob. I mean, that was such an awful week for him, and it really pulled back the curtain. And then the way he dealt with it, you know, he's saying, oh, I wasn't, you know, I never used the word threat. I wasn't complaining. Oh, boy. You know, what exactly were you doing on CNN last week when
you
went before the cameras to complain? So that whole thing was, you know, it tied into this right-wing fantasy of this Chicago thug life and how they're out to, you know, break knuckles and things like that. But then when we actually read the emails, you know, the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah, Sperling was on Meet the Press yesterday. He's like this, you know, overly polite, like, accountant.
Yeah.
It's like you're going, oh, yeah, I can see where he's almost like Tony Soprano. You'd be terrified getting an email from him. Brad Blakeman on the Fox News.
The president's oath says he'll preserve, protect, and defend America. And at a time of sequester, the president should have come on television and told the American people, regardless who's to blame for this, I will assure you as president that I will cause as much and as least disruption to the American people as possible. Instead, he has instructed his government to inflict as much pain as possible.
I'm not sure he understands how the whole thing works here. it's not like the White House has an a la carte menu when the, you know, when sequestration went into effect.
Here are the people I want to cause pain.
Let me turn it up to 11. Yeah. Yes.
They're gonna pick and choose. But you know, you certainly saw pieces of that, and there were certainly claims that, you know, this was all, you know, a long ago hatched plan by Obama to eviscerate the military.
Right.
And that this was all done by design, and he knew it was going to happen, and this is how that's not how this thing was came together. And you know, they both sides agreed that these would be the cuts, and he doesn't have any. He's not picking and choosing here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this, 17 minutes after the hour. This is Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Eric Bowler from Media Matters remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Oh, here's what we were talking about, Eric. Sean Hannity still whining about his ass-kicking from Keith Ellison.
Now, since Congressman Keith Ellison's epic meltdown right here on Hannity 2 months ago, we decided to take a closer look at the man who called me immoral and a liar.
Yes,
it didn't take long to prove his hypocrisy, as his past reveals a host of radical connections, primarily to Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. The reality is this congressman not only associated with these radicals, but he spent years spewing their hateful rhetoric.
What?
Wow.
So why'd you invite him on your show?
Exactly. We've had Keith Ellison on this show many times. I've never heard him spew hateful rhetoric.
Yes.
No, and you know, you remember Glenn Beck, you know, in his CNN days, you remember he infamously suggested if Ellison's loyalties were with the other side, you know, talking about the war and war on terror way back when.
Wow.
There's some weird reason the right wing is obsessed with the, you know, this, you know, I believe the lone Muslim congressman in America.
Right.
They just can't, you know, they're obsessed about him. But again, why did Kennedy, because it's going to do his, you know, McCarthyism stuff, you know, these deep associations. Then why'd you have him on your show? And again, it proves why he doesn't have people who talk back to him on his show, because he has to spend the rest of the week cleaning up the mess that he made.
Yeah, exactly. Who was, by the way, remember the right wing, the Republican, I think was running against Keith Ellison, but was talking about building a wall to keep them, meaning Muslims, out of America. And I'm like, he's from Detroit. What are you going to build a wall around Detroit? All right. Charles Gasparino on Cavuto.
The president won 50.9%.
98% of the vote. He did not get...
I thought it was 9.7, 9.8.
It might be up to 9.8.
I thought it was 99%.
Whatever. But he acts like it's 99%. Okay. And he's running around saying he's not a dictator. Well, guess what? He acts like one sometimes.
Based on what?
Yes, right.
Right. You know, it's the whole idea that, you know, elections are, you're the barometer of everything unless you lose. And when you lose electoral landslide by, what was it, 132 electoral votes, you know, suddenly it's not that big deal. And, oh, if, you know, we're so 50-50, we're not. You know, if you look at the demographics, you look at what Obama won, I mean, it was a rout.
Yeah.
But he's a dictator. You know, well, George Bush. You know, after he won re-election, he went on this huge push to, you know, privatize Social Security.
Yes,
you know,
with his giant mandate, right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And he won by like two states.
By the way, won and re-election should be in quotation marks.
There's that.
You know, I mean, but it's interesting. The president actually, Eric, just said, you know, when people act like he could stop the sequester, he said, I'm not a dictator. I can't make Congress do the right thing.
That's proof that he's a dictator.
Right, right. The fact that he's denying it, doesn't it prove everything?
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Mitt Romney on Fox News Sunday.
I wish I were there. Oh. It kills me not to be there, not to be in the White House
too.
Doing what needs to be done.
What?
The president is the leader of the nation. The president brings people together, does the deals, does the trades, knocks the heads together. The president leads. And I don't see that kind of leadership happening.
Oh, yeah, we'd see leadership.
Oh, please,
with
Mittens. Yeah.
I know, you know, he was so forceful about how it's just killing him. I think Ann Romney talked about how same thing, you know. And, you know, as I pointed out, you know, he could barely fake interest in running for president.
Right.
You know, this idea that the both of them are just, you know, they can't sleep at night out in Malibu or wherever they
La Jolla.
Are.
La Jolla.
With their car elevators. You know, that they can't sleep at night because he was never that person. You know, he never had that burning desire. And
yeah.
You know, you don't nominate someone to run for president who's worth, you know, what is it, $250 million? There's just not that incentive.
Yeah.
You have to have this, you know, insatiable appetite. And just listening to him now, it's so clear it wasn't there.
I know, you're like, it kills me, really. You know what, I need to have a wave machine in addition to the actual ocean to sleep in La Jolla.
I mean, he's just reading it off like a cue card. Oh,
yeah.
it kills me. Be in the White House.
Exactly.
I'm devastated, as you can tell, by my wooden grin.
All right. All right. Eric Bollert, great stuff as usual from Media Matters. See you next week, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Okay.
You pulled an Eric Bollert this morning.
Oh, when I was hanging up on someone?
Yeah, uh-huh. You already had the phone in your purse by the time you said bye.
I want to be the one to leave first. Okay, bye-bye.
I win.
You say goodbye last. No, you say goodbye last.
Oh,
okay.
God, really?
All right. Vera in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vera.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm just calling to let the GOP know one thing. The working class here in Seattle, there's a lot of jobs here. And the people here are moving in together, they're pulling together, and that 47%, if the GOP thinks they're going to knock us down, they got another thought coming because we're stronger than they think. They're weak.
You rock on, Vera. That's right. No, I'm sugar and spice. By the by, did you see this piece in the Washington Post? Stymied by the GOP House, Obama looks ahead to 2014 to cement his legacy. Remember I was saying if people get ticked off enough,
yeah.
I don't care. I mean, look at the unprecedented voter suppression efforts. And guess what? It pissed people off more than anything.
That's right.
They turned out in even bigger numbers. Mm-hmm. And I know we hear all this about the gerrymandering and, oh, it can't, but it's interesting. Washington Post reads, President Obama now facing the consequences of automatic spending cuts and the complications they raise for his broader domestic agenda is taking the most specific steps of his administration in an attempt to ensure the election of a democratically controlled Congress in 2 years.
Good.
Great.
That would be awesome.
What I can't do is what I just said, is force Congress to do the right thing. The American people may have the capacity to do that. Ho, ho, ho.
Jackies!
Obama, fresh off his re-election, began almost at once executing plans to win back the House in 2014, rock on, which he and his advisors believe will be crucial to the outcome of his second term and his legacy as president. He is doing so by trying to articulate for the American electorate his own feelings and exasperation with an opposition party that blocks even the most politically popular elements of his agenda. Did you see John McCain and his Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham?
I declare.
Oddly enough, they were on, oh, no! How dare you let that man speak to me that way!
Oh, my stars!
I've never been spoken to that way in my life. I'll be on the fainting couch.
Clutch the pearls, John! Anyway, but they were once again saying they're not going to confirm the CIA nominee until they get more back, Benghazi!
Come on.
Okay. Anyway, more on this Washington Post piece, but, you know, I don't know what else the president can do at this point. He needs a Congress that he can work with. Mm-hmm. All right, more Lindsey Graham when we come back. Oh, Andy, I've never... 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Her little habit of personal amusement is getting way out of hand.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, hot brie in the city.
Ooh.
And right there next to Jim, next hour, Melissa Fitzgerald, activist extraordinaire. Jim, what are you doing over there?
Oh, well.
I'm taunting you with my new Stephen Stills hat because I got to hang out with Stephen and hear his new album this
best
weekend.
Best friend, Stephen Stills.
Yeah.
He's got a 4-CD set coming up March 26th. Man,
great.
50 years, more than 5 hours of music, including a jam with Jimi Hendrix.
I got to hear his new album, and he was playing. He grabbed a guitar and started playing.
Wow.
This is the coolest thing that has ever happened to me.
He is the awesome. You know, he has a solo artist with Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. I mean,
it's
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
People.
I think I put my glass of wine down on like $1 million guitar. I was like, sorry. Let me get that.
Don't. When you go to a famous musician's house,
don't
touch the guitars. Touch anything.
Some of them a little pricey. Okay.
You're gonna crack mom's crystal egg.
I think he said we call that one the house in Hawaii.
Oh.
Guitar, it's worth a house. I was like, sorry.
Oh, was the neck supposed to hang off like that?
I'm sure that drink thing will come out of there.
Oh.
And his wife? Impossibly gorgeous, impossibly nice.
As you do.
Oh.
A rock star.
Yes, exactly. She looks exactly what you would think. A rock star. And she's smart and nice. And it was just. Oh my God. And you took me to some fancy private club where I also embarrassed myself.
Did you use the wrong fork for dessert?
I have no idea which fork. Probably.
She used a tuning fork, which seems appropriate.
I used the musical spoons.
Not that anyone uses those anymore.
A musical spoons.
All right.
You know, the musical spoons.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know where there's been some legendary music?
Where?
At the Chicago Theater.
Oh.
Jerry and Chicharo.
Chicharo.
Says, I love you, Mom. Do we still have a date on April 13th in Chicago?
Computer says yes.
Yes, we do, Jerry and Chicharo.
My sweet home, Chicago.
Hey, Chicago, you say twice wasn't enough?
15 is my limit.
Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal comedy tour is making a return visit to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Witness the ecclesiastical mook John Fugelsang, hilarious heartthrob Hal Sparks, and Catholic girl gone wild Stephanie Miller as they reunite for another night of inspired comedy.
We're putting the band back together. We're on a mission from God.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked a number one comedy album and its own TV documentary. It's more fun than a bag of vipers.
Yep. We're just packaging what the kids want.
That's the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
Now, who can argue with that?
Sweet Home Chicago is about to get more sugar from Mama.
Sweet Home Chicago.
Bag of vipers, not included.
That's right. Cameron in Charlotte writes, Steph, tell Jim that Boner is positively flabbergasted that he's being mocked on live radio.
That's ridiculous.
For his ridiculous lisp. It's despicable that we would point out. It was just particularly pronounced yesterday on Meet the Press.
You're despicable.
That's my succotash. This is the president's sequestration.
It's cottonmouth. I tell you, I've experienced that a lot in college. University.
That and the lizard tongue. It's just searching for water.
Yeah.
David is ready. Water here in the green.
Because when you smoke and drink, you get parched.
Right. Exactly. All right. I must have made some incorrect movie reference last week on the show, which,
probably
hardly ever
that
happens.
Never happens.
But Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, it's the, what you're thinking always of the scene in Dr. Strangelove where Lillian Gish and William Powell are driving the bus that Dennis Hopper is planning a bomb on, and Lillian Gish drives a buff off a cliff yelling, yippee-ki-yay, mother at Susan Sarandon. You know, remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's probably what I meant. Nasty. Do I have something on my face now?
No, I was actually scratching.
We keep doing that to each other all morning.
Yeah, apparently I had a big, like, boulder-sized hunk of cottage cheese
on
my lip.
You had something untoward on your lip. I just fill in your own joke. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you how my weekend was.
Dana and Dave!
What?
Chris Louise. Hello, Dana in Maryland.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Just wanted to get a happy birthday.
It's your birthday?
Yes, it is.
Oh, happy birthday.
Some of my favorite people, so nobody I'd rather talk to.
Aw.
Yeah, and that was a party foul, leaving your wine on the guitar.
Yeah,
sure.
I did not. Yeah. I made that up. I didn't put my wine on the guitar.
Yes, that's a rumor.
On the vintage Stratocaster. I don't know, there were Gibsons and Martins, and it was, lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
I guess Dennis Rodman is our new... North Korean spokesman.
Yeah,
what is up with that?
For the love of Gandhi, seriously? the Kardashians, you know, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah,
that's
a
different
kid. He's on with George Stephanopoulos. I'm not watching him again.
I know. I don't know what.
Talk about people thinking we're stupid. That's why.
I thought it was like green screen. I'm like, what is Dennis Rodman doing?
Well, maybe
Rodman
is just weird enough to talk to the Kims.
Right.
That's true.
Kim, we should send our weirdest ambassador.
Kim Jong-un is a famous Chicago Bulls fan.
So
that's why he was welcome.
Dennis Rodman, not really a current,
current
Chicago Bull.
But he was a Chicago Bull when the Chicago Bulls were
it takes a while
world class.
For the video feed to get to North Korea. Bouncing off of satellites and whatnot.
Center, right. Okay.
Yeah. Three-peat! It's a three-peat!
Barbara in D.C. Hi, Barbara. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mook.
Hello.
I'm calling because I had a comment about Ann Romney and how she's blaming the media for presenting the Romneys as, wealthy, stuck-up snobs.
Right. How dare they?
I mean, well, she did that all by herself. Do you remember when she was on a morning show and the reporter was asking her about... would the Romneys release more than 2 years of tax returns?
Oh, you mean when she said "you people" to Robin Roberts? Yes, that looked
exactly.
That seemed unfortunate. An unfortunate scene from The Help.
It was very unfortunate, and that's exactly what she said. And she sounded like a stuck-up snob.
Yes, there you go.
Here,
there
have
you
some pie.
We did, and we baked them.
Yes,
a magical electoral pie. Here,
eat my.
Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
That was a line from The Help.
This is hard.
That was an Oscar-winning movie.
Yes. You people. No. Story. You're going to see from
Jessica
us.
Chastain from Zero Dark Thirsty.
Don't use 30. That.
Sorry.
Right. Don't use that bathroom. Okay. Do you think she did that? Robin Roberts is going in the wrong bathroom.
I don't think she did.
All right. I was talking about the, this is, it makes
for
me happy clappy.
The Help is using the wrong bathroom.
The Washington Post stymied by a GOP House. Obama looks ahead to 2014. I like this. Forward, forward. We're still going forward, Chris LaVoy.
I know. I've heard.
Made you flinch. Okay.
Yeah.
but I was talking about fresh off his reelection, he almost at once began executing plans to win back the House. See, it can be done. It can be done, I think. He's doing so by trying to articulate for the American electorate his own feelings, exasperation, like we're all feeling with the opposition party. Obama has committed to raising money for fellow Democrats, agreed to help recruit viable candidates, launched a political nonprofit group dedicated to furthering his agenda, that of his congressional allies. The goal is to flip the Republican-held House back to Democratic control, allowing Obama to push forward gun control, immigration, climate change, the economy during his final 2 years. Mm-hmm. How great would that be?
Let's hope we can do it.
A Democratic strategist said clearly the president is winning the debate on the sequester, but the sequester is Act 7 of what's going to be a 12-act play.
Hmm.
I think the most significant impact the president has on the midterms will be his job approval rating and favorability at that time. The president yesterday on the sequester.
Beginning this week, many middle-class families will have their lives disrupted in significant ways.
Steve Israel, by the way, a representative of New York, said the president understands to get anything done, he needs a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The president yesterday.
If I'm a man or woman in uniform in Afghanistan right now, the notion that my school for my children on an Army base might be disrupted because Congress didn't act, that's an impact.
Have we done this next one? I don't know. But about the tax loophole?
We have not.
Let's play that as well.
Okay.
None of this is necessary. It's happening because Republicans in Congress chose this outcome over closing a single wasteful tax loophole that helps reduce the deficit.
Yep.
By the way, remember the right-wing relic from the last election cycle that called in? The pre-skeeter?
Oh, yeah.
Last week and said, what's the president done? He's a community organizer. That guy from Kansas?
The one who almost said that he went to a madrasa.
To madrasa.
Yeah.
If I barbecue.
Yeah, he was a little relic from the first election cycle.
It was totes adorbs.
He really was. But Julie sends us, would you like some fun facts?
Sure.
This is for the Kansas moron. Because what's the president done? They can't even keep that straight, whether he's done too much and he's a dictator or he hasn't done anything.
He's doing too much, if not enough. In a Kenyan way.
I can't read all of them, but there is in Washington Monthly, Obama's top 50 accomplishments. I'll just read a few.
All right.
Pre-Skeeter, if you're listening. At least Skeeter has more recent talking points. Okay. Passed health care reform, passed the stimulus, which created a total of nearly 3.7 million private sector jobs, pre-Skeeter. Passed Wall Street reform, ended the war in Iraq, began drawdown of the war in Afghanistan, eliminated Osama bin Laden, turned around the U.S. auto industry, recapitalized banks, repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, toppled Gaddafi, told Mubarak to go, reversed Bush torture policies, improved America's image abroad, created a race to the top. Passed credit card reforms, protected two liberal seats on the U.S. Supreme Court, improved food safety system, achieved New START treaty, invested heavily in renewable technology, improved school nutrition, expanded hate crimes protections, expanded health coverage for children, expanded stem cell research, killed the F-22.
Okay. Like I said, he ain't done nothing.
And that's just the Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's he done? He's doing too much, if not enough.
Exactly. Okay. He has done clearly too much, if not enough. Scott in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Miss Stephanie. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I think you guys are missing a couple things, and don't get me wrong, I voted for Obama twice.
Okay.
But I'm kind of getting disenchanted here.
Okay.
The sequester, when you stand back and look at it, save the military cuts, is Paul Ryan's budget.
Save the military cuts.
I mean, minus the military cuts, right?
Yes. Minus the military cuts.
Oh, right.
You're looking at cuts in education, cuts to infrastructure. It's the Paul Ryan budget.
Well, no, because there's no cut. I mean, the big thing is there's no cuts to, Medicare and Social Security. That's what the right is screaming about. I mean, that's the problem is that, everybody thinks this should be done in a more balanced way, and that's what the point the president made. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Go ahead. Laugh out loud in your cubicle. Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Yes, I agree. All disco records should be burned.
15 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, look, it's the Republican Herp Derp stack again.
What'd they do now?
Representative Ed Orcutt, Republican of Kalama, I'm not sure. Washington State, does not think bicycling is environmentally friendly because the activity causes cyclists to have an increased heart rate and respiration.
Oh, come on. Plants breathe CO2 and exhale oxygen.
Right.
It's called a symbiotic relationship.
He said you'd be giving off more CO2 if you're riding a bike than driving in a car. He said he'd not done any analysis on the difference in CO2 from a person on a bike compared to the engine of a car. Others have that he might want to check.
Yeah, scientists. That is why the Republican Party is dying.
Did you not get the memo from Bobby Jindal? Stop being the stupid party.
I'm going to try to exorcise a stupid out of the stupid party.
How's that exorcism going? Not good.
Not so good.
Nah.
Computer says no.
All right. Oh, we were talking about John McCain and well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham. Lindsey absolutely has the vapors. again over Benghazi.
Clutching his pearls.
What? Are you going to let Bob Schieffer speak to me that way? I don't know why I decided he's Aunt B. I just did. I don't know.
Bob Schieffer.
They said they want answers from the Obama administration. Answers, I tell you.
Well, what's the question?
And are willing to oppose the administration's choice to be the new CIA director. Ah, now they're they've got the Chuck Hagels in, so now they're going to try to block. Graham said Sunday, he and McCain are hell-bent on making sure the American people understand this debacle called Benghazi. McCain said
we know what happened.
Because Republicans
cut funding for embassy security. That's what happened.
They're in danger of going after this thing so hard and so bad that they're going to Clintonize it. You know, where Clinton got a 70% approval rating because he was so under attack from the Republicans.
And then we're like, we spent how many millions of
$70 million
of taxpayer money on a land deal where they lost money?
Right.
Okay.
They're really in danger of overplaying their hand
here. Ah, never! I'll be on the fainting couch.
It's the greatest catastrophe in the history of catastrophes. Oh, my stars. I believe I'm getting the vapors.
Can he just do the Sunday shows from the fainting couch? Does he? Okay.
I'm sure they've installed lights and a camera by the fainting couch.
Sarah Palin has her own little setup. Yeah, yeah. Can he have a little setup right on the veranda?
Got a picture of mint julep.
With my mint julep. Grady in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Grady.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Hello. How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Yes. Now, I've obtained some firsthand information about how corporations dealing with government contracts are handling the sequestration.
Right.
They're asking their employers or employees not only to give up any chance of overtime, they're asking them to take a 20% pay cut.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, the president is right. Whatever you want to parse terms about exactly what he said or not, they're dumb cuts that are going to hurt real people. By the way, a lot of our callers have been saying, why don't the, you know, legislators that can't get anything done take a pay cut? Senator Claire McCaskill and Senator Bill Nelson are proposing just such a thing. They'll introduce legislation that would cut pay for members of Congress if federal employees are furloughed due to the sequester. The legislation calls for a reduction to legislation. Sorry, that was the John Boehner pronunciation.
You're drunk.
The legislation calls for a reduction in congressional salaries once federal furloughs begin, which, you know, good. A little consistency. Let's go to Mary Lou in Philly. Hey, Mary Lou, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, here's my point. I'm sad for the people who are going to lose their overtime. However, why can't both private corporations and government pay a decent salary to those people so they don't have to work overtime? The last time I did my fractions, everybody is getting 3 for 2.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's like when George Bush said the thing about, I have 3 jobs. Good for you. Uniquely American. No.
No, no, that's not good.
We shouldn't aspire to have free time at all for family or anything, you know. In my case, I say that hypothetically, but if I had a life, I would want more time for it. What? Clay in Maine.
Hey!
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I love seeing you guys. The beginning of my day is just perfect.
Thank you.
When I hear you guys.
It all goes downhill from there.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, listen, I know this is a little old. Mittens. I mean, we are past Mittens. But Mittens doesn't realize that we've done with that election. And I ask myself, remember Ann's comment? Stop it.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yes.
This is hard. We can't do this.
Stop it.
Well,
yes.
We can't do anything.
That was the one thing she was worried about.
Remember when governor of Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And they dropped from 34th in jobs to 48th.
Yes.
And he left them with a $1.8 billion deficit.
Yep.
And he wants to criticize what Obama is managing to prevent a complete disaster.
He's doing it all wrong, as Mittens pointed out this weekend.
Yes.
He's not doing this with his hands.
Mittens, by the way, still just naming objects. It was like a roller coaster. Campaign was a roller coaster. ups and downs. And we were like, no, I don't remember the ups. But
no, there were no ups.
The roller coaster just goes down, but okay.
And it went down and down and down.
Up and down.
It's
just
more
right
like
height.
A flume ride, I think.
It's just
like
the right
Busch
height.
Gardens.
Yeah, exactly.
Jonathan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
I wanted to touch on Hannity and Ellison. Ellison is my congressman.
He is
and
awesome.
I have worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the greatest.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought if he wanted to touch back on his relationship with, like, the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan.
Right.
When have they been politically relevant lately? I mean, they do great things, but are they turning any tides? The nation stepped in, so now this election is totally skewed. And then they want to say, well, they're preaching hate. Like, white folks are picking on us. Well, black people can't believe that. Gerrymander their district so they can't vote for anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
They're speaking the truth.
Yeah, I'm sure Congressman Ellison is too busy spending time with the new Black Panther Party.
Sure.
That will be on Fox this week, I'm sure. Those the other two guys in the Black Panther
Party. I have in my hand a list of 205 Huey Newtons in the State Department.
Yeah, I bet you he will. He'll be a pinata on Fox News this week as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
They've got a... Sean's got a new liberal binky. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Activist Melissa Fitzgerald, Hot Bree in the city. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. And it's not often when Melissa Fitzgerald, activist extraordinaire Melissa Fitzgerald, joins us. Or we call you by your stripper name, of course, Hot Bree.
Hot Bree on the Stephanie. She's filled with squeezing. Hot Bree on with Stephanie. Hot Bree on with Stephanie.
All right. Okay, I love that. That's
hilarious. I ordered that for you.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Thank you.
Every girl remembers when she gets her first jingle.
So excited. I am so excited. Especially since it's a stripper jingle. My mom's going to be so proud.
Oh, my God. It was my idea. I wrote Rocky Mountain Mike yesterday. I'm like, okay, can you just give me the hot child in the city? Hilarious. All right. So everybody wants to know, the first question is, where is the stripper pole?
Right now, yes. I think it is sitting in my new apartment, not set up.
Jim would like to come help unpack later today.
I don't know if it's going to fit in the new apartment. I don't know, you know, the ceiling height. I haven't been, so I may have to give it away to somebody.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Might be Jim. Me, Jim.
Jim. Just saying.
How does Janiqua feel about doing some stripper dances for you?
Ceiling is a little too high in the living room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, vodka makes Jim angry, so we might break it.
I might break things, yeah.
Yeah.
I fixed it, though. I did fix the table. After I broke it.
Good. Ooh. Good. Well, not when you were drunk. You would sobered up.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So I was telling Jim that we had a slumber party last night. And I said, I know you were hoping it was naked, you know, with pillow fights. But it was not. It was us screaming at David Gregory.
It was, which was even more exciting.
And I warned you in advance. I said, the Chiron says, are both sides equally to blame for the sequestration? We're just asking.
God.
I mean, how can they say that? It's like somebody said something mean to you and somebody else punched you in the face. Are they equal? You're both wrong. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Did FDR really cause the Holocaust?
No.
What? No. It is true.
He and Hitler came into power at the same time. That's where the comparison ends.
That's right. It's the false equivalence. It drives me crazy. And also, we were obsessed with the fact that John Boehner has a lisp.
I know.
It's ridiculous. The sequestration is stupid.
You do a better him than he does.
It's despicable. Yeah, I don't know why. Chris, let's play some. This is John Boehner, but we notice he has a lizard tongue, and also he has a lisp.
As I told the president once again
yesterday,
we all know what the problem is.
Problem.
We've got runaway spending.
No, we don't.
I feel forced to make fun of how he says things because what he says you can't even discuss it. It's so crazy and incorrect, and it is infuriating.
Right. And we were like stage moms a little bit watching David Gregory. Like at a synchronized swim meeting, we were always like, oh, that was almost a question. Oh, no, don't drop it now.
I know.
He would ask a question, but then he just, you know.
This is the worst crisis since the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Germans?
Germans?
Forget it, he's rolling.
Roll. Okay, here's some more John Boehner. Yes,
I made it clear to the president that he got $1 trillion worth of tax hikes in Obamacare. He got another $650 billion worth of tax hikes on January the 1st. You can't tax our way out of this problem.
Can't tax our way out of this problem. It's ridiculous.
We were saying somebody was making the analogy. Who was it on Meet the Press? But they were saying that it's like if someone held the president up at gunpoint and said, give me your wallet. And he said, well, I don't have, but here, take my watch. And you're like, well, the president agreed to give me his watch. It's like, well, he didn't really, to avoid having the country go into default. Yes.
And by the way, didn't we vote in November and didn't we decide that we wanted more tax fairness?
Yes.
Didn't we do that?
Exactly.
I remember being on the road and that was a centerpiece of my speech and most of the other people's speeches. And every single crowd that we spoke to responded to that almost more than anything else consistently. Right. So we voted on that.
Right.
The people voted on it. We won.
That's right. You called
the people's flattery to reduce spending.
You called
not raise taxes. It's ridiculous.
You called in from the road. You were, I think, on the Hot Liberal Nuns on the Bus tour.
That's
with
right.
You and Debbie Wasserman and Jan Schakowsky.
Yep.
Right. We were.
Well-known nuns.
Yes.
Let's go with the analogy.
I'm going with it.
They were Hot Liberal Nuns on the Bus.
But I love those nuns on the bus.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
them.
God, right. Yeah. They're awesome.
Aren't they great?
We just had her on, and what's our new favorite catchphrase? Everything I said, she said, oh, my glory.
Oh, my glory.
My glory.
I love that.
I'm stealing it.
Me too. Me too. Because normally we sound like a loading dock, so we need to clean it up a little bit.
Oh, my glory.
Oh, my glory. All right. I know, and you traveled all over the country. Here's something that's just shocking. Many states in Crackerland win the... Oh, I'm sorry. I meant in the South.
Oh, my glory.
Oh, my glory.
Be nice. There are lots of sexy liberals in the South.
I apologize to the crackers. Sorry. It wins Gallup's most miserable contest. High unemployment, poor access to basic necessities such as food, shelter, and medicine, and rising obesity rates continue to plague many of America's southern states, according to the latest Gallup.
So you're saying the crackers are in government cheese?
Right.
Which
is Mexican flour.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. The end.
I'm down for cheese.
What do you think, Hot Bree? The index looks at six categories: life evaluation, emotional health, work environment, healthy behaviors, physical health, yada, yada. This one, let's see. HIV infection, most concentrated in the South, where students don't learn about it in school. How about that? The CDC's most recent report, one clear trend emerges among southern states where concentration of HIV infections tends to be higher.
Huh.
Likely no coincidence, many of those states lack the comprehensive sexual education requirements that would educate their residents
about. Just teach them abstinence. That's all you need.
Well, health classes.
I got taught abstinence. That's a whole different thing.
Health classes in Texas, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Louisiana aren't required to provide any kind of medically accurate information about HIV. In two of those states, Texas and Florida, public schools don't have to offer any type of sexual health education whatsoever.
Mm. Okay, that makes me just sad, and it also it angers me a bit. Because lives are at stake here, and why are we not doing this? Why is access to information politicized and turned into something that's bad rather than good? Why is education bad?
Right. What was I going to say? I was saying that I loved health class because I got my first big laugh in health class because Mrs. Whalen was talking about crab lice and I yelled, how about they swing from hair to hair? And I yelled, Geronimo. And I...
And that's when you knew you wanted to be a comedian.
Geronimo!
Now, how old were
Luckily,
you then?
Luckily, Phyllis Diller was there to laugh at your joke.
That's how old I was in Phyllis Diller's class. All right. Yes, and this is how we get adults that are like the rapey Republicans that think...
Legitimate rape.
Right, we have magical...
It's not something you hear about in health class. Much.
Magical powers in our...
Yeah, they didn't teach me that.
Well, I'm sure you have magical powers, Hot Bree. At least Jim thinks so. leader of a California Republican group may have inadvertently revived the controversial subject of rape and pregnancy. Did you hear about this? It's a woman,
yeah,
right? Celeste Grieg. She was. She told a newspaper that pregnancies by rape are rare because it's an act of violence, because the body is traumatized. She, ironically, was trying to criticize Todd Akin, the former candidate,
but she agreed
for saying
with him.
Victims of legitimate rape rarely get pregnant because the female body has ways of trying to shut that whole thing down. Shut her down. She said that was an insensitive remark. I'm sure he regretted
it. Stupid one.
He should have come back and apologized. Then she went on to say, granted, the percentage of pregnancies due to rape is small because it's an act of violence, because the body is traumatized. What? So she went on to reiterate exactly
yeah,
the
what
stupid
he said,
thing
yeah.
he just said. Okay, if you'd like some, they're not really fun facts,
well,
they're just, yes. Most research on rape and pregnancy has shown roughly the same rates of pregnancy as pregnancies resulting from consensual sex. One study actually showed the rate at which women get pregnant after rape to more than double that of a single act of consensual sex.
So it was just the opposite.
Well, right. With consensual sex, the authors of this study theorize women have the option of declining sex, obviously, or using contraception, and there's a high likelihood of getting pregnant because of their ovulation cycle. So it's just, and that you have a woman, a Republican woman, putting the same kind of information out is just...
There must be some kind of far-right show, radio show, or something like that, where they get this information from that they then disseminate, because it's all false, but it sounds like typical right-wing religious propaganda, you know?
But it seems like there are computers available. We can fact-check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that not happening?
And Todd Akin was quickly fact-checked.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he lost.
Well, the facts of a liberal bias.
Uh-huh.
Everyone knows that. It's ridiculous.
See, Bruce has made the impression lispier now. We cannot get enough of it.
You're despicable.
You're the one who's despicable.
The president's sequestration. David.
Clearly rabbit season, not duck season.
Mike and Madison, you're on with Hot Bree. Hi, Mike.
Hi, gang.
Hi, go ahead.
Talk to you. I had a solution for President Obama. You asked, what could he do?
Yeah.
He can actually convene Congress. The Constitution gives him the ability to. He can convene Congress every day until they pass all the legislation that was filibustered for the last 4 years.
Well, that's worth checking into.
Sure.
Hot Bree, get on that. Get on the computer and...
Excuse me.
We have the Google.
See, she's very socially aware. I told Jim the other day that you invited me to go to a dinner party about genocide, and Jim quickly spun it like it was a pro-genocide dinner, which I had to explain it was not.
Computer says no.
Was not. Melissa has done
not.
A fabulous documentary called After Kony,
that's
which
right.
is about
yes.
Uganda. She is not pro-genocide.
I'm not pro-genocide. Okay. I'm really not. This was a dinner where somebody...
I have to prove it to them. Yes.
I know.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to send you some stuff. I actually wrote something for the New York Times about it, and
oh, wow.
I will send that to you. Not about this and
yes.
being, you know.
See,
but.
Stop being hypnotized by her smoking hot looks. Look at her big brain. Look at it. Look at it. Okay.
That's hot.
It's hot. 17 minutes after the hour. More Hot Bree
wow.
in the city on the
hot
Stephanie Miller Show.
Cerebral cortex.
Oh.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi!
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 Oi! What's happening with Sid Sligelman?
He says boy, not boy.
Oy.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's more like Delancey Avenue.
Yeah, 22 minutes after the hour. Actress Melissa Fitzgerald, Hot Bree, live in studio with us this hour. You can tell because Jim has a dopey look on his face.
Oh.
So we had a slumber party last night because Hot Bree is moving into my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and she was
so
know,
close. I
right?
I really
oh
I drove past my street this morning in 3 minutes.
I know it.
Wow.
I know it.
3 minutes.
Yeah, because and it was kind of slumber party in that we were bitching about exes. Now it's true.
Oh, who doesn't?
I know.
Okay, but I just love this story. Lindsay, Ontario couple charged over alleged chip and dip assault.
Sorry, what?
Really? In Ontario, yes. There wasn't much beer left, but apparently there was enough chip dip to go around at the home in eastern Ontario. A Lindsay couple are facing charges for allegedly assaulting each other with chips and dip.
Is this Ontario, Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
When
officers... Not the Empire. Okay.
Yes. When officers arrived at the scene of the disturbance after 1 a.m., they found both people covered in chips and dip.
Well, good thing they didn't have any poutine.
After apparently fighting over the last beer.
That story is
not spectacular.
I spilled the last moose head on the Chesterfield, eh? Sorry.
Poutine would hurt.
Somebody get me a serviette. I got poutine on my face. Eh?
Doesn't that make you want to get married?
It does. To you.
Oh, look what I did.
Now you're going to have to call her tomorrow morning and apologize.
Sorry, the thing I said on the show. I know you're straight. Right. She doesn't even know now it's a recording.
Yeah.
I'm usually too drunk to make the calls. Melissa, Steph, sorry. Because I know you're straight. Okay. Don't even bother with a fresh one. She knows. She's like, I know. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. We had Gavin Newsom on last week, though, and he is going to marry.
Sitting in that chair.
He's going to do the ceremony. But see, now then I can't marry you and have him do the ceremony, because whoever it is will leave me for one of you. So that would be.
So now we have a precedent that only beautiful people can be in that chair.
Right. Aww. Right. Do you take this? Wait a minute. Those two are hot.
Which way do I go?
Wait a minute.
Which way do I go?
But it's his brain and his deeds that make him so hot.
Right.
Yeah.
I asked him if his teeth were real. I couldn't help myself.
I heard that.
I'm like, are your teeth real? Are you white?
That made him uncomfortable.
Everything I do makes somebody uncomfortable. President Obama said Friday, and also I'm having Chris Cluey punt the bouquet after my...
Because that accomplishes what?
Fictional marriage. I don't know. He's just...
You just want him at your wedding, that's all.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you blame her?
No.
Right. President Obama said Friday he felt compelled to weigh in on the California same-sex marriage case before the Supreme Court because of his and society's profoundly positive evolution on gay rights. God bless you, Mr. President. He said last year, upon a long period of reflection, I concluded we cannot discriminate against same-sex couples when it comes to marriage. I think the same evolution I've gone through is an evolution that the country as a whole has gone through, and I think it's a profoundly positive thing. He said, I felt it was important for us to articulate what I believe and what this administration stands for. If the Supreme Court asked me or my Attorney General, Solicitor General, do we think meets the constitutional muster? I felt it was important for us to answer that question honestly, and the answer is no. Man.
I'm just wondering what David Gregory thinks about everything.
Yes. That's what I think. Thank God it's only on for an hour a week, right?
It makes my blood pressure go way sky high.
I did a really good job cutting down on my drinking all week, and then Saturday and Sunday morning, I picked a bad week.
Bob Schieffer on Sunday.
I do sometimes also. I watch a lot of them together. Yeah.
There
back
are three other shows you could watch that don't have David Gregory on them. You know?
But Meet the Press has been part of my Sunday my whole adult life.
Right.
I can't. It anchors my week. I got to watch it. And I think there's a part of me, and perhaps part of you too, that likes to get mad. And likes to throw
stuff.
Careful,
let's make a Jim hot now. You know you want it. You know you want David Gregory to make you mad. Okay, let's go to Joshua in Baltimore. You're on with Melissa. Hey, Josh.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you on the whole Dennis Rodman thing. I mean, I really don't care if it's Dennis Rodman. The fact is, he's opening the door to diplomacy.
True.
I mean, it's the first actual time this new leader of North Korea says he wants to talk.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's an opportunity we shouldn't pass on.
Exploit the three-peat.
Maybe John Kerry will get a nose ring now, and maybe things.
He's tall enough to play basketball.
Some tats. I don't know.
Dennis Rodman has never looked good, but he looked awful yesterday. Did you see him on this week?
No.
Oh, he looked awful.
Yeah. No, we thought it was green screen. We were like, is Dennis Rodman? Why is he in North Korea? What?
It was a little confusing and also a little frightening because who knows what he's going to say.
Right, exactly.
Because I watched him on, The Apprentice? Was he on The Apprentice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched a couple episodes of that.
And he almost started World War III there, let alone North Korea.
Yeah. That's how we knew our slumber party was going way too late, because the reruns of The Apprentice with Donald Trump came on. And
you
were like,
huge,
he is such an idiot. Why are we watching this?
I'm a huge idiot.
Hugely.
I lost money at a casino.
He's a hugely
Who else
idiotic
can do that?
Man. Okay. Jerry.
Huge.
Jerry in Seattle. You're on with Hot Bree. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
I was going to say something about, I thought the Republicans were going to do everything, cut the budget, save everything by taking care of loopholes.
Yes.
Wasn't that Romney's plan?
Yes, they did not get around to that.
Balance the budget.
Right, and Jerry, that's where the president nails it. They would rather cut all of this stuff than close one loophole mm-hmm. for the rich. I mean, that's what this comes down to. And did you see, Gregory did have, you know, he briefly grew a tiny set to ask Boehner, you know. But he did, right? He said,
hey,
you know.
Well, he did. No, it was a good question. Right. We got all excited.
And he's like, and Boehner's like, we want tax reform. Republicans want tax reform. And he gets all, and you're like, no, you don't. I mean,
we want the poor to pay more taxes. That's tax reform yeah. right there.
And when he says for everyone, it's like, you know what? We voted on this. Yes. And we decided that we wanted.
And you can't get blood from a stone.
And
by the
way,
rich people are where the money is.
We voted on, and going back to the Clinton tax rate.
Yeah.
Which we didn't, we're not even there yet.
Right.
We're not, I mean, it's.
And I don't know, weren't we doing really well economically
yes.
back then?
Yes, we were. And BJ's for everyone. 29
what?
Minutes.
What?
What? Huh?
What?
BJ and the Bear, remember?
Yes, of course.
Good shows were on that.
Videos. Yeah, VHS tapes of BJ and
Stop
the Bear.
Stop looking at me like that. Get this cottage cheese off your lip.
Oh,
29
sorry.
Minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, and she also sheds, eats out of the garbage, and can't control her bowels. Why don't we just call Duluth Mental Hospital and say,
Stephanie Miller
can live with us.
Close. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Actress Melissa Fitzgerald, Hot Bree, as we call her by her stripper name.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron writes, this is the one section of the show we allow someone to perv out on you. Cameron, other than me and Jim. Cameron in Charlotte says, Steph, would it be pervy if I request a cell phone picture of Melissa speaking seductively into the microphone with her eyes closed and her lips puckered sent directly to my private email account that not even my wife knows about? That would be pervy, right?
Oh.
No, Cameron, I'm sure your wife will be fine with that.
My wife would be fine with that.
What is it? Tommy in Columbus sends us all sorts of stuff to the
yeah,
show.
Filthy things.
Right, but no, they're actually good content, but
right.
for some reason, every email he sends to Jim has a picture of you attached to it. There's no connection to anything.
Well, luckily, there's nothing bad out there about
no,
me.
No.
It's just...
I don't think.
Clean as a whistle.
Unless it's been photoshopped onto
yes.
Well...
Because I'm too boring for anything good to be out there.
Oh, my God. There's a picture from the inauguration of Roland, sexy liberal tour director, Jackie Schechner,
right.
and Melissa.
Uh-huh.
They got you made, like, Washington Magazine or something. It's like, they're the
wow.
prettiest people in the world. Roland looks like Bond. He's holding...
Roland is so handsome.
Oh, he's handsome and romantic.
And high-strung.
He is.
He has horrible toenails, though.
Does he really?
Yeah. When we go on vacation
Ooh.
And he gets drunk, he's like sleeping with a Gila monster. And
Gila.
And he will not get off me. He just claws my leg. Like, I look like my you know, calves have been shredded by a cat during the night.
Why doesn't he takes care of everything else?
Toenail clippers.
Yeah, why doesn't he take care of his toenails?
I don't know. He's horrendous.
Okay, there are two things there, though.
Right.
What are you guys doing sleeping that close together then?
We're very needy. We're very needy. At least one of us is having a nervous breakdown at one time or another.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so you prop each other up, or you tear each other down.
Cling to each other.
Which is it?
Both.
Yeah. One is like throwing the other a life preserver, and it sinks like a rock.
What? Well, Melissa can tell you, Roland wasn't there one night, and I ended up on her like a koala. So listen,
just wrapped around her face.
I did. I was sucking on her like a eucalyptus leaf. That was a long apology message.
Wow.
I am so sorry, Melissa. I
hope a bottle of wine came with that apology. Good Lord.
A fruit basket.
Yes.
Sorry, Roland
yeah,
wasn't
even,
there.
I was like, why are you apologizing?
That's like an alien face sucker.
Yeah.
She was like, get off me. Okay. Let's go to Phil in Boston. You're on with Hot Bree. Hello, Phil.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you know, I'm wondering why the president doesn't use the primetime TV address like some other presidents have. I really think that this would be a one-punch
knockout. Because he's never done one of those, right? What?
Yeah, I mean, I can only remember him breaking into TV live on to announce Bin Laden's death, really. But I think that if he went on TV and addressed the nation in prime time...
He just... Okay.
And basically, you know, I mean, he doesn't need to name names, but he could say, listen, we have 18,000 corporations in the country that are using one address in the Cayman Islands to avoid paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the nation's largest banks. He doesn't need to say Bank of America. Everybody will be able to figure it out. They made $400 million.
I won't say which one. It's an American bank. It's a bank here in America.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? And I mean, I just think that a lot of even Republican voters would be outraged if they knew the extent of these loophole abuses. I mean, and I really think the Republicans would go straight into retreat, they'd disappear for a week, and they'd come out and close some loopholes. But, I mean, people, the general knowledge of it is just not out there. People
right.
don't
I mean,
realize
Phil,
how much revenue we're losing to these
right.
loopholes.
But, I mean, mm-hmm. Phil, he's on TV all the time. What are you saying? I mean,
well, you know, when he's on, like, I saw his address about this the other day.
Uh-huh.
He's usually on in the morning. And I guarantee you Fox News never covers any of his press conferences, because I check.
Yeah.
I'll see, you know, it's on CNN, it's on MSNBC, you go
no.
to Fox, it's not on. So the information is not getting to
right.
the Republican voting base about exactly what their representatives are defending here. And I mean,
are you saying
I think
that no one pays any attention to anything that's on TV in the morning?
Well, they do, but I really think that it's a matter of Republican voters are being insulated from all this
yeah,
stuff.
No,
they
I
don't
hear
even
you.
Know about it.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Oh, yeah, he does have a point. Mm-hmm. I actually like that he knocked Donald Trump off TV with the Osama bin Laden. It was like the season finale of The Apprentice. Not saying he did it on purpose.
But I mean, he could have like the fireside chat equivalent, you know, just getting his side of the argument out there to overrule David Gregory and people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be great. However, everything that he's done thus far, the Republicans are accusing him of campaigning.
Right.
On
well,
this.
Look at
every time he speaks about it, they're like, you're campaigning. It's like he's not running.
He
he's
can't run for a third term.
Yeah. Look at the freak out over Michelle Obama, who's invited.
Yeah.
Give an Oscar. And
First lady at the Oscars? That's never, ever, ever, ever happened. Oh, wait.
Can you imagine the right wing? There's the president knocked whatever off the air. We missed 20 seconds of a Kardashian because the president injects himself into everything.
And sadly, do we really feel that
I missed Honey Boo Boo.
Right. You miss Honey Boo Boo and that woman that looks like a thumb. That's
her mother. Mama June is her name.
It's a thumb with lips.
She's
anyway,
a thumb.
I've never seen it, actually.
I did by accident, and
you
I
did.
Yeah, we'll show you the picture anyway.
It burns. It burns.
But what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that. Do we really think that people are interested in facts anymore?
Yeah.
Or is it just that they want to hear from their team telling them what to
think? Well, Ezra Klein just did a whole piece in the Washington Post. Checking out Honey Boo Boo's mother.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's why she's going to be a politician, because someone that pretty is not allowed to say anything about anyone else. So all she's going to do is say,
Well, the only thing I feel about that is I feel sorry for her child that she's explaining her in that way. That's,
exactly.
I mean, I have nothing to say about her looks, because I don't care about somebody's looks as much, but explaining your child like that, I think
It's
terrible.
Seems like not a good thing for the child.
Right. I was talking about Ezra Klein's piece about, you know, the fact that, like, they were saying, oh, well, you know, major Republicans don't even know what the president has put on the table, including chained CPI. They're like, well, if he would do that, that would be, you know, and they're like, he has done that.
And it's up on the website.
Right.
Isn't it up on the White House website in bold?
Whitehouse.gov.
Right.
Come on.
Right. But
how hard is that?
Said,
again, the computer. We can use the computer.
If it's not on Fox, it ain't news.
Right. But that's what he's saying is that you can't make the president can't make a deal with these Republicans. It doesn't matter what he proposes. He's already compromised and compromised and compromised. It, you know, anyway. What's Honey Boo Boo's? It's a little prostitute-y. What's her slogan? Give me a dollar and I'll something.
Make holler. You holler.
Oh.
Isn't that like, did she steal that from Tone Loc?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Tone Loc requires $50
to make you holler.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's all the level of how many dollars it takes to make you holler.
For
on
someone,
the prostitution
right,
scale.
For someone the size of Honey Boo Boo, it's just a dollar. What?
But I also heard she had something she calls go-go juice.
That's right.
It's like Mountain Dew.
It's Mountain Dew and Red Bull mixed together.
And how old is she?
I think she's like 7 or something like that.
Oh,
8?
It's not good for her little body.
No. But it makes her perform well on stage at the child
not
pageants.
Not good.
And you're someone that generally does not enjoy children on the plane, as you just.
But I was wrong. You told
a beautiful story.
I was wrong.
Go ahead. Tell your magical story.
Well, I was on an airplane going to D.C. on Friday night, and there was a child who was non-stop talking, crying, laughing, just non-stop. Right. I couldn't believe it.
I used to hate screaming baby airlines until I flew Chatty Toddler Airlines, and it's even worse because they do not breathe.
And I couldn't believe it for the entire flight. I thought, this child has so much energy, and what is his dad doing here? Like, is he not calming him down, doing something?
Right.
And I was having hateful thoughts. And then afterwards, I was standing next to his dad, and his dad told me, yeah, I've had to make this round-trip flight. I do it every 2 months because he has 2 months with me and then 2 months with his mom. Mm-hmm. And then it was a lesson for me, because you don't know what anyone else is going through. That poor kid was just being ripped away from his mom for 2 months and going with his dad for 2 months. And
maybe
what was in your thought bubble exactly before that? What was in your thought bubble? What sort of thoughts?
Oh, I'm not saying.
Is this a plane equipped with ejection seats?
and I was thinking, gosh, maybe it's because I didn't have kids.
That probably was a wise choice. I was telling you my story that behind me there was a father and a kid that was playing a banjo. And I just turned around and I gave him the international look of, really?
Yeah.
How can you play a banjo in coach?
Yeah. Who brings a banjo on a plane?
I thought it was like an airplane.
I want to see banjos off my...
It was like the movie Airplane. It was like a sketch. I was like, really? You are kidding me. Seriously?
Was he going to sing River of Jordan?
There is only one river.
Really? I'm trying to read.
But generally, I love children, just not on airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it made me wish for screaming baby. At the time, because we're something
or snakes.
About toddlers in group. Right. I would even fly mother snakes airline if I could.
They're quiet at least.
Right.
Except for rattlers.
Stop that rattling. Yeah, but there's something about toddlers. It's just there's a lot of screaming when they're together, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of just it's nonstop sort of. They don't seem to need to breathe. There's like it's like a kid joke. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, and I'd forgotten my little earphones, so that was
noise canceling headphones.
Yeah. I'd forgotten all that.
That's my way to hell. All right, so we were talking about the First Lady, everybody freaked out. So Michelle Obama said it was absolutely not surprising that her satellite appearance at the Academy Awards provoked a national conversation. Yeah, if you read some of the right-wing blogs, that was not a conversation.
No.
She said, shoot, my bang set off a national conversation. My shoes set off a national conversation. That's just sort of where we are. We've got a lot of talk going on. It's like everybody's kitchen table conversation is now accessible to everyone else. So there's a national conversation about anything.
It's more like screaming goats than a conversation.
Yes, I think it's different. Don't you think this time? It's not just, I think she was talking about social media and people. No, there is unprecedented vitriol, particularly against her. And
I agree.
You've met her, haven't you? Or no?
I have not met her. I've met the president, but I have not met her.
She's just, from everybody I know that's met her, is just like what she seems. Just warm really warm and funny and real. And, you know, they freaked out over the mom dances.
What kind of mom dance?
What sort of human being doesn't think that's funny?
It was cute.
She's good. She's a mom.
How dare she?
And she's
who
good.
Who does she think she is?
I liked her. I thought she was great in that mom dance.
It made me want to scream like a goat. Oh, I forgot. We need to do this. We thought the screaming goats had jumped the shark, but not until someone sent this.
Okay, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, we're going to use that on Mondays after I watch David Gregory. That will be my Monday show open. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining segment with Hot Bree in the City on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Actress Melissa Fitzgerald. Activist extraordinaire, as we call her by her stripper name, Hot Bree. There we go.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
And Nick Gilder. It was Nick Gilder, wasn't it?
That was.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So,
you're good.
Wow.
Hot Bree has moved very close to me, so and I'm going to go help her unpack later.
Did she do this on purpose?
No, I lured her.
Or by accident.
I lured her into my trap.
Okay.
I won the East Side, West Side rap war with Jackie Shepard.
The turf war.
Yeah, turf war. It's over. Yeah, and I'm going to go bring a bottle of wine and help her unpack. So that means she'll be like, why did you put my shoes in the freezer? So then she'll need to have someone else come and help her actually unpack because I will put everything in the wrong place. But I'm a helper. I'm a helper anyway.
You are.
Right?
Yes.
You are. You made me dinner last night.
I did. Was it delicious?
It was so delicious.
I made her brown rice pasta with chicken meatballs. It was delicious.
It was like a meatball medley, too.
Thank you.
It was. It was a meatball medley, different flavors.
Thank you.
Delicious.
All right. And then we screamed at Dave and Gregory together.
As you do.
It's a perfect night.
Right. Well, not for me.
Goat screaming at David Gregory.
Stephanie.
Hello.
Into the penalty box with you.
It ends up the way I hope.
Don't say box.
It never ends the way Jim hopes either.
Yeah.
Every time she comes in. But the good news is, we did not fall into a sinkhole.
Oh, that was a terrible ending.
That is awful.
It was not a naked pillow fight, but at least we did not fall into a sinkhole. Yeah, he was sleeping Thursday night. It's still expanding, Jim, you were saying earlier. They evacuated several houses near the one. I thought nothing, every horrible story that comes out of Florida, I'm like, what?
Nope.
The sheriff
it just got
the,
worse.
The hole took the entire bedroom. You could see the bed frame, the dresser, everything was sinking.
Yep. Wow.
And it says here sinkholes, a common occurrence in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Because of limestone?
The limestone bedrock that they have. Yeah. It gets washed away easily, and so whatever's on top of it just falls.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to live in Florida. No.
Well, but you'd rather live here where we have earthquakes.
Absolutely.
We have, we have 40% less sinkholes in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
See, it's good.
Actually, I'm going to Florida in like a week and a half.
Are you really?
I hope I don't fall into a sinkhole.
No, please. Please do not fall into a sinkhole. By the way, Republican news. Fight, fight, fight. Conservative advocacy group Club for Growth shows no signs of slowing down its efforts to purge the GOP of alleged moderates, launching a new campaign targeting Republican
there are moderates
members.
In the GOP?
Right. The group's new site, primarymycongressman.com, is designed to raise awareness of Republicans in name only, RINOs, who are currently serving in safe Republican seats.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yes, you go
fight,
with that.
Fight, fight. You've got all your life to live, all your love to give. You'll survive. Don't let them take you for granted like that. Go. Be free.
Move further to the right.
Go, Elsa. Be free of the Republican
Party. This is how we'll never get anything done if things like that keep happening. And we, as voters, have to stand up for this.
Yeah.
And if we're complaining and saying nothing gets done in Washington, then we need to take a look at why. It's because we're putting them in that position.
There's a piece we were talking about in the Washington Post today where the president is putting a lot of effort into 2014 because we keep hearing, we can't do anything. It's gerrymandering and whatever. And the White House obviously differs. And so
of course we can do everything. We have the vote. We can change it. We can do exactly what we want. But we have to participate.
Look at the voter suppression. We were saying it ticked people off more than ever. The turnout was even higher because of it. So, people don't like losing a right that they realize people have died for, that other Americans have died for their right to vote. It's people, like people's reaction to what Scalia said. The Voting Rights Act is a racial entitlement? What?
I can't believe that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. We're wondering what he's going to say in the Prop 8 case, something horribly homophobic and offensive that will cause gasps in the lawyer's lounge like it did in this one.
Just like that.
I didn't want to know. Never mind, I won't go there.
Yeah, please don't.
Okay, I'll try not to. Let's go to...
Go there.
Don't encourage her.
Come on.
I don't understand why munchers need separate rights. What? Tom in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Hey there, guys. Chat room would all like to bring housewarming gifts to Melissa. But, hey, I wanted to respond to the story that you did in first hour that Senator Bill Nelson with Claire McCaskill wanted to sponsor a bill to reduce Congress's pay
yes.
In response to the sequestration. That is not possible under the Constitution. The 27th Amendment does not allow for changes in compensation of the current sitting Congress. You can only raise or, in this case, lower the pay in the subsequent session of Congress after an election. So I don't know if they're being pandering to voters to say, well, see, we're going to do something really, really tough and you know, make Congress take it on the chin if you know, we have to lay off federal employees, or whether they just don't know what they're doing. But it kind of frightens me that Bill Nelson's actually proposing this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they sense the frustration out there with the, you know, them getting paid and other people losing their jobs and their benefits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jim, please do not get drunk and inadvertently blurt out Melissa Fitzgerald's new address, because all of our listeners will be a series of cartoon door knocks. Brought to a souffle.
She's not going to give her address.
Can I help you unpack your panties? Can I help you unpack your unmentionables? Hi, it's from Steph's chat room. Hi, Melissa. Aaron in Iowa, you're on with Melissa. Hey, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I'd like to thank you for everyone helping to turn my morning around, because when my alarm went off, I got to hear an audio clip from the Tangerine Boner saying that the Democrats demanded the sequester. So this is what I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. How can Obama or the Democrats be to blame for the sequester when there was a bill with 51 votes to dissolve the sequester and start over, but McConnell filibustered it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So, and he, well, even David Gregory, after his, you know, teeny tiny ones descended, he did say, you know, you put poison bill, you know, he's like, the House will put out two bills before the Senate will get off its ass. And he's like, you knew you put poison pills in there. You knew the Democrats are not going to, that was not a serious bill.
It's not serious.
It's not serious. It's not despicable. It's not serious at all.
And I love that every time he asked him a real question, his response was, David.
Yeah, like,
David.
He's talking to a
Stop it, David.
A toddler that had wandered into the tavern.
David. What are you doing here in the tavern?
This is where the adults drink the adult drink, David. Melissa Fitzgerald, activist extraordinaire. After Coney is the fabulous film on Uganda she did. She has giant lobes in her brain.
Yes.
As well as being smoking hot. We love you, Hot Bree.
I love you guys.
All right.
Thanks for having me today.
Kathleen Madigan tomorrow, all 3 hours.
Absolutely.
See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you for being had.
Yeah.